Good afternoon. It's good to see some of the college young adults back among us today. I'm going to read from a little bit before. I'm going to start from the beginning of chapter 1 in Habakkuk. And it's a small book, and not many people know about it. But if you can find it, I guess it's easier to find on your phone. I'll be reading from verse 1. And it says, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to your violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise, so the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. And here's the Lord's answer. Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded, for I'm doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swift to devour. They all come for violence, all their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. Then they sweep by like the wind and go on. Guilty men whose own might is their God. Then Habakkuk responds, are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil cannot look at wrong. Why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? You make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. He brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net, gathers them in his dragnet, so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his dragnet. For by them he lives in luxury, and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? This is God's word. Let's pray. Father God, you have ordained everything. And we praise you, Father, for everything. Things that we don't understand, but especially for things that we do understand, because you help us to understand. And please, Father, give us understanding now as we look at your word. But more importantly, Father, we pray for faith in you, that you would help us in our faith and strengthen our faith in you. Make us steadfast in you, as your steadfast love remains upon us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, if any of you have ever wondered what in the world is God doing, then I would say that this Old Testament book, Habakkuk, is for you. Have you ever felt the bitter sting of injustice? Like I have many times, Habakkuk is for you. Have you ever wondered, how can God allow all this suffering and injustice to exist? Like all this hate and violence that just sweeps over and crush the helpless and the innocent, then this book is for you. In the middle of all of this, I mean, even as Pastor Tim was mentioning in his prayer about all these wars going on and stuff, and innocent people suffering, Christians suffering, our fellow brothers and sisters across the world suffering, could be suffering from a famine, could be suffering from war. In the middle of all this, some of you might be asking why to God. And some others, like I've known, may choose to deny God's existence or His goodness or His power. Now in our text today, the prophet Habakkuk, he did the former. He asked God, why? Why? Not many of you may know Habakkuk. He's a little known prophet. But he served God around the same time as the prophet Jeremiah, who's more well known. And this was right before the Babylonians, or the Chaldeans, as they're also known as, right before the Babylonians conquered the land of Judea and overthrew Jerusalem. And that was in 586 B.C., when Jerusalem fell and the Babylonians just went in and razed the city, burned down the temple, took everything out, took hostages out. But before the Babylonians did that, in Judea, and especially in Jerusalem, the corruption there was great. Corruption. Okay? You know that the cliche, the rich got richer, the poor got poorer, government leaders were corrupt. It seemed like from the beginning of time we had all this around us. Poor people suffered, innocent people suffered. The main reason why all this stuff was happening was because people weren't following God. They weren't following the Lord. Or as you may read in some of the other prophetic books in the Bible, there was idolatry everywhere. In Jerusalem, in the land of Judea, in Israel, right? People were not following God. They were following these other so-called gods. And as a result, you have injustice, you have suffering, you have corruption. And we know from the book of Jeremiah that he preached and prophesied to the people against all these things. He's calling people to repentance because all the bad things they're doing. And no one really listened to Jeremiah, unfortunately. And in the book of Habakkuk, our text today, the prophet, what we have recorded for us here in this book is his prayer to God. And he was praying to God, why? What's going on? Because in his eyes, and I'm sure in a lot of the other people's eyes in his time, it seemed like God was doing nothing. There's all this bad stuff going on, all this injustice, and it seemed like God was doing nothing. And this injustice was being committed by God's people. The so-called holy, people who should be holy, were doing all these bad things against one another. It's kind of like in a family when brothers and sisters or fathers and children do bad things against one another. It shouldn't happen that way because there should be love amongst them within the family. And within the people of God who are supposed to be holy, they were far less than holy and they're doing these bad things to one another. And then in verse 3 in chapter 1, Habakkuk cries out to God, why do you idly look at wrong? It's as if God was sitting on his hands doing nothing. And that reminds me of a time when I was a little kid. I was really short then. And I was being bullied. There was these kids bigger than me. They're pushing me. They're calling me all these racist names. They're threatening to beat me up. And it gets better. They're doing this all in front of my teacher at school. And it gets even better. So they're doing this. I'm like, they're doing this in front of my teacher. So what do? I look up at my teacher because she's up there. I'm really short, just a little kid. She gave me this apathetic look. She did nothing. She looked at me and did nothing. She was 2 feet from me. Like right where that projector was right now. That's how far she was from me. And I still remember to this day. She did nothing. And like in Habakkuk's eyes, it looked like God was doing nothing. But was God really doing nothing? Was he being idle? I mean, I-D-L-E, idle. Was he idly standing by? No, because in verse 5, we see that God did hear Habakkuk's prayer, and God responded to Habakkuk. He says, just look around you and see, and you're going to be astounded by what I'm doing. Because I am doing something that you would not even believe if someone told you. And what was God doing? He was going to bring this nation from far away to execute judgment upon God's people. Okay? God was not idle back then, and he is not idle today. He's not idle today. He's not sitting on his hands today, just like he wasn't sitting on his hands hundreds of years ago in Habakkuk's days. And in Habakkuk's days, he was doing something that even Habakkuk would be astounded. And you see in Habakkuk's response in verse 12, he was astounded. He said he couldn't even believe. He didn't understand what God was doing even then. Right? So the Babylonians, that's who God was going to bring to judge his people. And in the ESV, it says the Chaldeans. Right? And this is how God describes the Babylonians. He says they're ruthless. They invade. They attack rapidly. It's almost like they don't even think about it. They just attack. And they sweep across large portions of the earth and just swallowing up nations. Right? They were infamous for their cruelty. So they were actually pretty famous and well known in Habakkuk's days. Like, man, these people are bad. And the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, they didn't care about what other people think. They didn't care. Because what could other people do to them? Nothing. The Chaldeans, they could do whatever they want and no one's going to stop them. They're ferocious, like wolves. They're like animal-like. Right? They're capturing people like fishermen catch fish in a net in the sea. Right? You got a fortified city with a wall? No big deal to them. You know, they got their military engineers. They'll just build a ramp and climb right up through and take over a city. Not a problem. And it even says here that in verse 11, their own power and strength, their might is their God. They worship their own strength. It's almost like today when we worship the United States military, our bombs, our technology, our weapons, because they are the things that keep us secure. So the Babylonians, they worship their own strength and might too. Right? So this is what God used to discipline his people. To judge his people. you want to talk about tough love. That seemed like pretty tough love. And Habakkuk was, are you kidding me? He was like, how can you do this? Right? Have any of you ever prayed for something and then God's answer was difficult to understand? And you're like, no way, what are you doing, God? You know, Habakkuk prayed for justice, and then God does this, doesn't understand it. Right? Sometimes God allows to happen, or sometimes his answers to prayers doesn't make any sense. Like, for example, I prayed for the salvation of my mom for over 20 years. Right? And it seemed like God was doing nothing. But I kept praying off and on, right? I get discouraged every now and again, oh, whatever, and I don't pray, or I get lazy. But then I remember, I gotta pray for my mom's salvation. I want her to be forgiven of her sins, right? Every time I told her about Jesus, I got rejected, or Jesus would get rejected. But little did I know that it would take terminal cancer to soften her heart to Jesus. It was a Tuesday night, I still remember, and on Tuesday nights, back in those days, I would have a Skype meeting. Remember Skype? Kind of like today's Zoom. To have a virtual meeting with some people at church, and we went over some discipleship materials, right? But right before that meeting, my sister-in-law called me and says, Ray, I got some bad news for you about your mom. But I can't talk to you about it right now because it's not a bad time to talk. So she hung up. I'm like, what? And I'm like trying to focus, right? I said, what's going on? I had an idea, but I said, no, it can't be true. That can't be it. But after the meeting, I got the full report from my sister-in-law. Yeah, my mom was dying. She was dying. Terminally ill. There's nothing to do. And it was like a gut punch. You ever get punched in the gut? I hope not. I've gotten punched in the gut before. Very painful. And it felt like God just punched me in the gut. And, you know, all I could say was it's just plain messed up. And I asked God, this can't be happening. What are you doing? Lord, I don't understand. I've been praying for our salvation. And now it seems like he is going to end her life, right? But it turned out that as the illness progressed, it actually softened her heart. And I don't exactly remember when. You know, one set of my I have all these different memories, but one set of my memories was it was just like a few weeks before she died. And then another set of my memories says it was a few months before she died that she put her faith in Christ. So she's around the throne of God right now with us. Right? So praise God for that. But at that time, it was very hard to bear. I couldn't understand what God was doing. And even though I understand better what God was doing with my mom, it still hurts. Now, Habakkuk, when he was praying for God, he didn't understand what God was doing either. He says in verse 12, are you not from everlasting? O Lord my God, my Holy One? Right? Verse 13, you who are of pure eyes, than to see evil and cannot look at wrong. Why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? He was saying, these Chaldeans, these Babylonians are more wicked than your people. And it just seems like God is allowing... Okay, let's say this. God was allowing injustice... It seemed like God was allowing injustice to happen amongst his own people. And now, it seemed like as part of his justice, his discipline, he's going to add more injustice by getting these even worse people to discipline his people, to swallow up people more righteous than the Babylonians, right? So while Habakkuk acknowledged that the sovereign God is eternal, what happened is God did settle on a purpose. Okay? Now, if we look at history, we see that God has a plan, and his plan always comes to pass. You know, theologians call that his eternal decree. The Lord will bring to pass his everlasting plan. And Habakkuk did acknowledge it. Doesn't mean he understood it, but he acknowledged it. Right? And here's another thing to notice about Habakkuk's response. Even though he doesn't understand, he still acknowledges that God, the Lord, is still his God. He says, O Lord, my God, my Holy One. God is still God. The Lord is still God. Yahweh is still there on his throne. And Habakkuk still acknowledged that. Even though he didn't understand what God was doing, he says, no, you are still my God. It makes no sense what you're doing. It's not logical. But you're still my God. A lot of times when, like you and I, you know, let's just take myself for example, don't understand what God is doing, I get angry. I rage at God because I think I know better. Right? Or I think that I'm entitled to something better. But then, as I think about it, and I want you to think about it too, do we really see all the angles in a situation? When something hard to understand is going on, do we really see all the different angles? Do we really know better than God? And what I've come to understand is I don't know better than God. And in fact, it seems like the longer I'm around, the more God shows me how little I do know. It's like the longer I'm around, the more I realize I don't know much of anything at all. Right? But God does know. He does know. Even if we don't understand. And there's times I had to tell my children, because as parents, a lot of times I know I've told my kids to do things and they don't want to do it because they don't understand. And because, you know, at that developmental age, they're like small. And I had to tell them a few times, every one of them, I know you don't understand, but just trust me. Just trust me. And that's what we need to do here. That's what Habakkuk did. He didn't understand, but he still trusted God. When you don't understand, you need to trust that the Lord knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Now, Habakkuk also acknowledged that, yeah, God appointed these ruthless, immoral people to judge and punish God's holy people. But God is still the God who administers justice. So instead of his faith weakening, Habakkuk's faith was strengthened. And how was that? Because he rooted his confidence in the nature and purpose of God. But there's more. Okay? Habakkuk realized that God is good. He realized that God is also just. He also realized that God is faithful. God doesn't change. You remember God in the good times? Yes. But in the bad times, when things are going on, you don't get it, you don't understand what's going on, guess what? The situation has changed, but God has not changed. He is still good, He is still fair, and He's still faithful. He has His reasons and purposes for things. But what was God doing? What was God doing? Habakkuk didn't understand. He didn't know. Why does those loved by God suffer such devastation? We know from history that a lot of bad things happened to the Jewish people when the Babylonians took over the land. A lot of bad things happened to them. Bad things happen. We can't even go into it because it's just not appropriate from here to talk about those bad things that they did to them. Right? But they suffered. Okay? Why did God's people suffer? And that's a very basic question. Why do you suffer? You know, why did my mom have to suffer? She suffered. And why did I have to suffer to see my beautiful mom deteriorate and become so disfigured? I can't erase the look of her face from my memory before she passed away. And that's, you know, the question why, that's a very basic question. And you know what? In the Psalms, the psalmists, like David and Asaph and a lot of others that wrote the Psalms that we have today, they ask the same question too. And you know what? You know who else asked that question? Jesus asked that question. In His most painful moment, when He hung on the cross, my God, why have You forsaken Me? I won't get into His physical suffering, but what a lot of people don't realize is that there was this spiritual side, an emotional, psychological side to His suffering too. Okay? Because Jesus, who's known the love of the Father, unbroken love, unbroken fellowship, unbroken love from the Father, from eternity up until that moment, He felt that love break, and He felt abandoned by the Father. Even when all those mean people were ridiculing Him, and even during the trial, and when the soldiers were beating Him up before they hung on the cross, He sensed the presence of His Father with Him, comforting Him. He sensed the angels around Him, comforting Him, helping Him to walk that dark path to the cross. But on the cross, all of a sudden, He's by Himself. That's what it felt like. And He asked why. He could, at that moment, it's a mystery. It just seemed like He just didn't understand why. You could say it's the human side of Him. Just couldn't understand why. So Jesus understands suffering. He understands when things don't make sense to Him, when His own Father does things and He doesn't get it. But check this out. It was because of God's love for you that He asked Jesus, His only Son, to go through that. And it was also Jesus' love for you, which, and his love for his Father, which drove him to endure suffering that caused him to ask his own Heavenly Father, why? That's the depth of God's love, the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit's love for you. The Father loves you. Jesus, the Son, loves you. His Spirit loves you. That's what God did for you. And just like what Pastor Tim mentioned earlier, how God would extend his grace and love to you, and then he calls you. Like we heard earlier, you know, God saved his people from Egypt, brought them out of slavery, then he says, don't murder. Jesus died for you and is alive right now. Will you believe in him? Will you believe in him now? Today? Even when it doesn't make any sense. It's a paradox how Jesus, who is both God and man, omniscient in all things, and he asked that question of the Father, why have you forsaken me? So on behalf of the Lord's people through ages, Habakkuk here, he wrestled with the depths and riches and wisdom of God, and he couldn't understand it. Because God's ways are past finding out. They're unsearchable, as theologians would say. And yet God revealed to all of you and myself how you'd be reconciled to him. That's clear. Right? There are still hard questions that we can ask. And I encourage you to ask those hard questions. You can ask Pastor Tim. You can ask me. And like I shared in Sunday school with the high schoolers, you can ask God. I know I did. I said, why? You know, why are you taking away my mom? You know, couldn't I have her for a few more years? Right? But God's still good. And I hold on to that. Even though I don't understand all the things that God's called me to go through. So will you trust in God? Because he hasn't changed. He's still good. And he still loves you. So how are we to respond when we don't understand what God is doing? Those who follow Jesus and are believers, will you continue to trust him as you go through that dark path? Okay. Are you going to continue to follow him? Are you going to continue to follow him? I encourage you to continue following Jesus and to cry out to God. Let's pray. Lord, you are wonderful beyond our understanding. And that's an amazing thing. And there are things, unpleasant things that happen in our lives that we don't understand either. But we know you are in control of all things. Even now, some of us are going through things that we don't understand. Difficult things. And though we may not pray to you and ask why, in our hearts we quietly wonder why. And I pray, Father, for your peace and comfort upon each one of us. And like that one father that prayed to Jesus about his son, Father, help our unbelief. Help us to believe you more. For our faith is weak. And we're very short-sighted. And our understanding is so limited. We can't see all the different angles in whatever's going on. That's difficult. But you do. And you're good. And you're all-powerful. And we will continue to trust that you have our best interest in mind, because you are the God of gods. And even more so, you are our Heavenly Father because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I pray, Father, you'll continue to hold on to each one of us and never let us go. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.